Many years ago, there was a king who had three sons and wanted to choose which son would become the next king. And he thought and he thought, and eventually he had made a plan. In the morning, when the sons came down for their breakfast, there on the table were three feathers. They looked at their father curiously, and he smiled at them and said, "Sons, I wish you to take that feather and throw it out of the tower window. And whatever direction the feather goes, I wish you to follow until you come to a place where you can find the most beautiful tablecloth in the whole wide world." The first son, Alexander, took his feather and he threw it from the tower window and it went north. And he immediately saddled his horse and galloped away in that direction. John, the second son, he too took his feather and he threw it out the window and the wind carried it south and he saddled his horse and followed his feather. Jack, the youngest, took his feather and threw it out of the window. And to his surprise, the feather spiraled down and down to earth, landing just at the base of the castle wall. And his heart fell. He looked in disappointment at it, trailed down the stairs, and went to where it had landed. He picked it up, very despondent, wondering what to do, when he noticed beneath it was the outline of a trap door. He brushed away the moss, the grass, and the weeds that had grown up around it, and there he saw a handle. And with all his might, he pulled and he pulled. It had definitely not been lifted for many a long year. But eventually, straining his muscles, he raised up the lid, and there, below, were steps leading down into the darkness. He followed those steps down, and he could just dimly see a corridor stretching out before him, and he followed that corridor using his hands as guides on the dark, dark walls. Till eventually he came to a door. He felt with his hands and there was a handle, but it was locked. He shrugged to himself and knocked. A moment or two later, the door was flung wide open and light poured in. He was blinded for a moment, but when he regained his sight, to his surprise, there before him was a frog, a large frog. And the frog looked at him and smiled and said, "Good morning, Jack. Come this way." And the frog bounded off, and Jack came out from the darkness of the tunnel into a whole new world where there were trees and grass and brooks and blue sky and sunshine. Well, he followed the bouncing frog all the way to a large palace. The frog led him forward, right through the palace gates and into the great hall, where there was a throne. And sat upon that throne was the greatest, biggest buttock that you've ever seen. And on its head was a crown. And it took one look at Jack and said, "Well, Jack Fitchidean here, lad." Jack bowed before the king and he said, "Your Majesty, I am on a search for the most beautiful tablecloth in the whole wide world." "Aye, aye," says the Owl King. "Well, I think we might be able to help you there, but you ken, Jack, things don't come for nothing. Are you willing to work for something as precious as that?" "Oh, aye," says Jack, "whatever." "Well, we'll see. If you work for me for 3 days, in exchange, I will give you the most beautiful tablecloth in the whole wide world." "What I would like you to do," says the Owl Frog, "I would like you to work in my coal mine for 3 days. It's hard, hard work, Jack. And he looked at Jack's hands and saw they were soft and prince-like. "You'll nae hae sae fair hands when you're finished, laddie." "And that's all right," said Jack. And so he was led to the coal mine. The frog that took him there gave him a bucket and a pickaxe and told him the seam where he had to work. And he told him to try and fill up the bucket. Jack set to work with a will, and he worked hard all day. The coal dust was in his eyes. He was coughing with the dust. And when he came out at the end of the day, his eyes were feeling really sore, and he was black from head to foot. But who should be there to meet him? The most beautiful young lassie he'd ever seen. When she caught sight of him, she started. And she said, "Are you Jack?" "Aye," says Jack. "And who are you?" "I'm the princess." Oh, very pleased to meet you," said Jack. "I'm sorry I'm in such a state, and my hands are cut with the coal, and I've hardly got anything at all." "Well," says the lassie, smiling, "you go and have a bath, and I will see to your grazes." Well, once he had had that tender, loving care, he felt an awful lot better. But he was disappointed with how he'd done. The second day, his muscles were aching. But he worked hard again, and the third day. But you know, by the end of it, he hadn't even got a bucket full of coal. And he felt his heart drop down. The king would not be happy with him. And the only thing to cheer him was the young princess, at the end of each day, had been there to greet him and see to his wounds. When he took the bucket into the king says, "Now let me see, Jack." "Oh, laddie, you've done awfa weel," he says. "That's awfa good." "It's nae," says Jack. "You've never done it afore. You've done fine. And now, as I promised, here you are." And he handed Jack a walnut. "Now tuck that awa wi' you. Dinna open it yet." "Thank you," said Jack, not very sure what else to say. And he was led from the king's presence, bidding farewell to the bonnie princess. And a frog led him all the way back to where the curious door to the tunnel was hidden in the bushes. Back through the tunnel he went, and up those steps and out into his own world, just as his two brothers were galloping in on horseback. He lowered down the trapdoor and followed them into the courtyard. And the three brothers presented themselves to their father. Well, the eldest, Alexander, he brought out with a flourish the most glorious tablecloth of blue silk, deep sapphire blue. And the king took his breath away. "Alexander," he said, "'tis indeed magnificent." Well, John brought out his tablecloth, and it too made his father gasp. It was reds and oranges mingled together in a most glorious array. "Oh," says the father, "I dinna ken. Jack." Well, Jack brought out the walnut, and the two brothers laughed. "This is it's nae a tablecloth at all." Well, Jack thunked the walnut on the side of the table, and it cracked open, and inside there was the most fine, beautiful gossamer material. And as the light caught it, the rainbow of colours through it, and yet it looked white, but it was not. And the amazing thing was that he could draw it through the ring on his father's finger. It was so fine. And the king, he smiled at Jack and he said, "Jack, you surely have found the most beautiful tablecloth in the whole world. You shall be the..." "No, no, father," says Alexander. "That was only one test. You need to give us another test. It's nae fair just to do the one." "Oh," says the king. "Well, very well. Tomorrow morning, follow your feathers, and this time I wish you to find the most beautiful ring in the whole wide world." Well, first thing in the morning, Alexander was at the tower window. He let his feather fly, and it flew due west. And John followed suit, and his flew due east. And Jack, his spiraled down to the ground and landed where it had gone before. Well, off he traipsed down those steps and along the corridor and knocked on the door again. And the door was flung wide and the sunshine poured in and he was led to the palace. And when he went in, the king says, "Well, Jack, you're back." And Jack bowed low before the king and he says, "My father has asked that I find the most beautiful ring in the whole wide world." "Ah, well, Jack, you worked hard in my coal mine. Are you willing to work harder still?" "I am," said Jack, taking a deep breath. "Well, this time, I wish you to work in my marble mine. Now, the marble's very, very hard to get out. But are you willing to give it a try?" He swallowed. "Yes, Your Majesty, I will." Well, the frog led him to the marble mine, and there Jack worked. Now, marble is a very, very difficult stone to take out, and he was cut all over, bleeding terribly. But at the end of each of the 3 days he had to work, there was a bonny princess there with salve for his cuts and a kind word to soothe his mind, for he'd had no success getting any marble out. And at the end of 3 days, all he had was a tiny sliver. Well, the king took one look at the marble in the palm of Jack's hand and he went, "Jack, you have done that without any help. There's not many a person would have been able to do that. Well done." And Jack looked up in surprise. He said, "I thought you were going to be disappointed." "No, you've worked very hard, young man. Now here." And he handed him another walnut. And this time Jack grinned and he thanked the king warmly and bid his farewell to the bonny princess. He was again escorted back to the door. When he arrived back up on the surface, there was his brothers galloping in, and he followed them through and up the stairwell to where their father was waiting. Well, Alexander, he brought out the ring he had found. Now, this was an intricate silver ring with the most beautiful ruby centred in the middle. And the king was astounded. And then he looked at the ring that John had brought, and this one was a cluster of pearls. Surrounding the pearls, it was a simple gold band. And then they all turned to Jack. Well, Jack again knocked the walnut, and there the nut fell open, and all four of them gasped. For there in the centre was a simple intricate ring, again of silver metal, but the weavings and windings of that metal and studded all over were pearls and the tiniest of diamonds. And the king looked at Jack and he said, "Jack, this is indeed the most beautiful ring I've ever seen. You shall be..." "Father," said John, "no, no, no, no. We have to have one more test." "Oh," the king says, "right, this will be the last test." "Yes, yes," the brother said. "Very well, follow your feathers in the morning." Alexander took his feather, and this time it flew south. John, his flew north. And Jack's spiraled down to land in the same spot as before, and with great joy and excitement, but dread at the same time, his muscles aching, his wounds still not healed. Down the steps he went along the corridor and knocked on the door. It was opened wide and the sun spilled in, and he followed the frog all the way to the palace and bowed low before the king. And when the king asked him what he was there to find, Jack's eyes fell on the princess. "My father says this time we have to find the most beautiful princess in the whole world." and Your Majesty, I know that I already have. Well, the king smiled warmly at Jack in his frog manner, and he looked at the look between the princess and Jack, and he said, are you willing to work? And are you willing to work hard? And Jack nodded, but with dread in his heart. What this time? Well, if you will work in my salt mine for 3 days, you can have the princess, if she is willing. And the princess nodded her head vigorously. And so Jack was sent to the salt mine. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a cut, and I don't know if you've ever had salt get into that cut. But for Jack, soon his wounds were all bleeding freely, and as he hooked into that salt, the dust affected his eyes, and he was white from head to foot with the red blood coming through. And at the end of the day, the princess screamed when she saw him, and even her care and her gentle touch did nothing to relieve the pain for Jack. And 3 days of that he did. He managed to fill 3 full buckets of salt. But he was in agony. And when the king saw the state of Jack, when he came before him, he said, lad, you've sacrificed a lot. And Jack turned to the king and he said, your daughter is worth it, sire. Well, there were fond farewells between the king and his daughter as Jack took her by the hand and led her towards the door. And when they came up out of the corridor and up the steps, there were 2 horses galloping through into the courtyard with a female form on the back of each horse. They came before their father in the great hall. And the king looked from one son to the next and the lady at the side of each. And he saw there was beauty in all 3. And it was going to be very hard to decide which one was the most beautiful. Alexander said, father, I think the only fair way to do this is if the women have a competition to see who is most worthy. And I think it needs to be a race. Very well, said the king. And so it was. A race was set out for the 3 princesses. And whoever won, their partner would be king. There was a long stretch of grass, and then a moat to swim across, and then a tall, tall tower to climb up to the very top. And whichever one reached the top would be the winner. But during the night, the 2 princesses, Alexander and John's princess, decided they were jealous of the frog princess and that they would prevent her from winning. And so in the line that she would run, they tied the grasses together to cause her to stumble and trip and fall. And in the morning, the 3 brothers were there to encourage their ladies on. And Jack held his frog princess and said, run, my dear, as fast as the wind. And she said, I will, I will. When they were ready to go, off they set, as fast as they ever could. And sure enough, the frog princess was tripping ahead lightly on her feet when all of a sudden, bang, she went down on her face and the 2 other princesses ran on ahead. Well, the frog princess picked herself up again, only to fall a few moments later. And by the time she'd finished the grass race, the 2 other women had swum across the moat and were now climbing up the spiral staircase to the top of the tower. But they hadn't reckoned on this princess being a frog princess. She swam across the moat as if she hardly touched it. And when she reached the other side, she took one great leap. And just before one of the princess's feet touched the top step, frog princess landed through the window in front of her. And so she won the race fair and square. And Jack and his beautiful wife, on the day of their wedding, there was an earthquake. The trap door that had led Jack down to so many hours of pain and joy was cracked open, and from beneath the earth came a king, dressed in all his finery. For this was the Frog King, who'd been put under an enchantment, and at the marriage of his daughter, that enchantment was broken. He and all his followers came up to the surface and returned to their own kingdom amidst great joy and celebration.